105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White, and as always, some super guests in the studio with us today. It's World Environment Day today, and the theme of World Environment Day, celebrating its 50th anniversary, is plastic pollution. So we have some very topical guests with us in the studio today. To my right, we have
Nick White from RD UK.
Brilliant. Lovely to have you in the studio, Nick. And Nick's company is based all around renewing your IT equipment, whether you're a public sector organisation or a business that's looking to update its IT equipment. Nick can actually provide a solution that will enable you to renew that without actually having to buy new from scratch, as it were. So very topical in terms of World Environment Day. And in the middle, we have...
Good afternoon, Martin. I'm Steve Goodwin from GVE Commercial Solutions.
And GVE Commercial Solutions are construction consultants in Kent, which is fantastic. Lovely to have you with us as well, Steve. And to my left...
Good afternoon, it's Cheryl Corsbrook from GVE Commercial Solutions.
Brilliant, from GVE as well. Fantastic. So do stay with us. We've got a packed show. As I say, we have got a loose theme around World Environment Day today. We're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Steve and Cheryl. So join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Biz Connect radio show today with myself, Martin White. And as we were saying before the break, we've got three super guests in the studio with us today as well. We have Steve Goodwin and Cheryl Corsbrook from construction consultants GVE Commercial Solutions. And we have Nick Waite from Computer Refurbishment Specialists RD UK with us. So welcome to the studio, everybody.
Thank you.
Steve, I'd like to start with you, if we can, please. GVE Commercial Solutions, it's not obvious what you guys do, so tell us, by way of an introduction, please, all about your company and the wide range of construction consultancy services that you guys offer.
Thank you, Martin, yes. Well, GVE Commercial Solutions... We set up in 2005. I'm Steve Goodwin. I'm the G. There was a V and there was an E, for sure. They retired and or they had other ventures a couple of years ago. Out of interest, one of them went to Turkey and built a hotel over there. He's now a hotel manager, so that's all good.
Wow.
So there's been a lot of change at GVE over the last few years. Our first employee was Luke. Yeah, he came on board... only 6 months after we started, and he's actually now my co-director at GV Commercial Solutions. So yeah, he's doing very well for himself, and there's just proof there that you can start and develop at our company. And then a couple of years ago, we set up a building division, or a building company, in fact, GV Commercial Solutions Building Limited, and a gentleman called Matt Clark is a managing director for that particular operation. And then also at about the same time, we set up a programming division that's very successful, that's doing really well. And we're hoping that will be the third arm of GVE over the next year. We're searching for a managing director of that business as well. Mm-hmm. I think we found him.
So your background before GVE was in the construction industry as well?
That's right, yeah. I started in the 80s with Tarmac Construction and travelled around the country. So I visited every corner of the UK, Shetland Islands, Anglesey, Cornwall and Devon. Travelling, doing all major projects for them. So big road jobs, big infrastructure work.
Laying roads?
Yeah, effectively. I can remember walking up and down roads miles after mile, dipping the sunbase in the tarmac. Yeah, great fun.
Fantastic. Okay. So what led you to GVE? I mean, what was the kind of the business journey there? Obviously Tarmac was the stepping stone, but why your own firm? Mm. Why go into business, and how did that come about?
Interesting. Well, I met Paul Edwards and Richard Viger sort of 20 years ago, and they were working for a construction consultancy similar to GVE, as was I. I was working for a company called Schofields. and then on to another company. And we all wanted something a little bit different. We wanted those companies had grown to sort of 50 strong, 100 strong, sort of lost the family feel, and we wanted to get that back between us. So we decided to set up GVE 2005, and within maybe a couple of years, we sort of had four or five people working for us, and we've steadily grown since then.
Yeah.
It's a good feel. We like the smaller niche sort of operation.
Yeah. Well, let's pick up on that. I mean, what do you mean by sort of family feel? I mean, do you think as firms get to a certain critical mass, they lose that kind of intimacy, for want of a better word? I mean, what is it? What sort of culture, what sort of ethos did you want to kind of create within GVE? What was that all about?
Yeah, for sure. Myself, Paul, Richard, and now Luke and Matt, we like to talk to all the people that work for us. So it's good to have that personal feel. We certainly like to do social events with everyone. We try and do them, at least three or four times a year, if that's not a hike or a bike or going to the races or something like that. That's the feel that we want. Mm-hmm. And we just felt that as soon as you get too big, the senior managers, the directors there end up not being able to talk to everyone. We didn't want that feel in the business.
Yeah. Right. So give us an overview of what it is specifically that you guys offer within GVE. Because obviously, construction is a big space.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic career opportunity for young people, starting out in life, because it is so varied. So what is it as a kind of core construction service offering that you guys actually do?
Well, we're actually all quantity surveyors. We're, mm-hmm. we're all professional quantity surveyors by trade. Generally speaking, therefore, everyone's done a fair amount of degree work or postgrad work as well. Not everyone. There's about 25 of us in the business. Mm-hmm. That's split broadly between 20 in civils and 5 in building. And sort of break that down a little bit further, we offer training. So we do NEC and JCT. They're the standard forms in the industry, basically, or bespoke training. That seems very popular at the moment. We'll sit around a table and just discuss the industry and discuss the contracts, and that all works very well. We do contract drafting and negotiations and contract reviews, and we ensure that clients are not signing up to anything they shouldn't be signing up to, or anything unworkable. In fact, that's quite often the case.
Uh-huh.
We're quantity surveyors, so we do project work, or we're programmers as well now. So, the day-to-day project quantity surveying that often lasts, 6 months, a year. Some of our projects last many, longer than that.
Mm.
Some last 2 or 3 years, such as HS2, for instance.
Right.
And then when things go wrong, which they often do, we are contract specialists, so we avoid disputes if we can. Other than that, we sort of manage the disputes and we get into adjudications and we try and resolve the problems for our clients.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, obviously, I think that the firm's been going for around, is it 18 years or so now, Steve?
Yeah, so it's 2025 is our big 20 years. Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you think, from your point of view, what have been the kind of the big changes in the industry? I mean, you mentioned something a moment ago, NEC contracts.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are those, and why have they been important for the industry, for example?
Well, in the civil engineering world, in the infrastructure world, they are the predominant form of contract.
Mm.
They were stipulated by the government many, many years ago now. And they're up to NEC 4, in fact, now. They every maybe 5 to 10 years, they go to their next level. They get industry feedback, and they improve. That's a good topic, isn't it? Do they improve or not?
Yeah.
I think they do improve, and generally speaking, they work. They are collaborative contracts. They're all about communication and people talking to each other.
So these are construction contract frameworks, presumably, that are templates that organisations can use to help them, in theory, get the job that they want, ultimately, having invested money, for a project.
That's exactly right. They are templates. They're standard forms. They often get amended. But they are mainly in the infrastructure world. But they have crept into the building industry over the last 4 to 5 years. There are frameworks now which use NEC. And I found that a lot of building contractors struggle. They're used to the JCT form, It's not quite so strict. The timescales are much looser. This is quite a problematic contract for builders to use, and therefore we tend to get involved long after we should get involved, really. Yeah? We should be looking at these NEC contracts for builders at a much earlier stage and helping them out from the very start, and perhaps doing some training as well. But often it goes wrong. And we end up coming in and trying to resolve it for our clients.
So in terms of your specific specialism within GVE, it's very much around litigation, mediation, dispute resolution. Is that something that you think is despite these contract frameworks and templates, is that something that you think is more prevalent today than perhaps it was in the past? And what do you think are the kind of the pressures behind that? Why is that? What's happening in the industry today that perhaps wasn't happening 18, 20 years ago?
No, I'm not sure I agree with that, Martin. I think it's always been prevalent in the industry.
Right.
Adjudication is the key driver to dispute resolution at the moment, and it has been for sort of 20 odd years. Mm. And that's a private dispute resolution procedure, and so we don't really hear about that in the industry. There's a lot of adjudication going on. Of there's thousands of claims consultants and solicitors and expert witnesses and of the like, and everyone's busy that I know. So I'm not sure that disputes are more prevalent these days than they have been, but certainly they're a lot more private these days. So you don't really hear about them quite so often.
Right. I'm sort of, when you say they're more private, what do we mean by that? Is things are being resolved behind the scenes rather than sort of publicly? What do we mean by that?
Yeah, in the past, litigation in the courts, you'll hear about what happens, and you'll see paperwork from the judges and in the cases. But in adjudication, you will not see that. So there's a lot of disputes that happen. You know, we're talking many, many thousands of them. You know, we get involved in probably 100 plus a year, and that's not reported unless it goes to court for a particular problem. That's not reported. You just won't hear or see what happens.
Right.
And that has its own problems as well, because a lot of the disputes used to get resolved through cases, and judges will tell you what the answer is, but in adjudication you'll never know. So a lot of the issues that we have, we have time and time and time again, because there's not much case law on, especially on NEC.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, look, I think what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of music. When we come back, I'd like to bring Cheryl into the conversation. Been sitting here very patiently, a new recruit at GVE as well. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the BizConnect radio show today. We were talking with Steve Goodwin before the break from construction consultants GVE Commercial Solutions, all about their business journey and their ethos as a firm in the construction space in Kent. But what I'd like to do now is bring in Cheryl Corsbrook, who is a new recruit to GVE. But actually, people probably know you, Cheryl, for all the other work that you do in the construction space in Kent. So just give us an overview of that and what you were doing previously as a freelance QS, and why perhaps you've taken the decision to join GVE now.
Thank you, Martin. I think my recent career, I suppose, was all about helping people and getting people together. I was a construction consultant, so although I was still doing quantity surveying work, I did a lot of business development and marketing. And through my connections with the Chamber, with the Kent Construction Focus Group and the Kent Building Kent Connections, I developed quite a large network and was working on doing things for other people as opposed to myself. And I suppose I met Steve, I've known Steve quite some time, and we went to a lunch. I'm sure it was a kind of entrapment, really. But he post that lunch, he offered me a role which I'd been looking into. I'd been doing a law course on the NEC contracts. And I think I'd rung Steve and asked him for a copy of the NEC4. So I suspect that tweaked his interest, and that's why he offered me a position as Associate Director of the building company. Okay.
So adjudication and dispute resolution and mediation, all of that was something that you were kind of genning up on in the background anyway. That was something of personal interest
to you. It was. And you know, when somebody says, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. I still didn't really know. Mm. But I feel like now, maybe at 55, I've grown up, and this is what I want to do. I started out my career as a quantity surveyor. I want to come back to it. I've always been interested in the contract side and helping people, getting something, some resolution and avoidance of disputes and things like that. So, yeah, for me, it's all about the same thing, really, helping people and making sure that they're doing things the right way and getting what they're owed, I suppose.
Yeah. So, I mean, talking about that side of the business, because obviously it's a really important part of what you do, Steve, day to day, and now what you're doing, Cheryl. You know, construction, I think it's fair to say, has been through a bit of a boom time over the last 10 years in this country, probably since we came out of the last, subprime kind of mortgage induced recession. Yeah, 8, 9. So that's a real positive, and we see kind of projects ongoing all around us. We've got Otterpool Park, just up the road. They had a big kind of open day at the weekend to kind of, you know, highlight what they're going to be doing in the community and what's going on there. But there's an incredible amount of sort of headwinds, I think, that the industry is facing. We're talking about, you know, cost of living, energy crisis. We've got sustainability now coming into the mix as well. Where does what you're going to be doing fit in with all of that? Is it something that's really coming to the fore now? Is it something that's more prevalent and there is a much more defined need for?
I think at GVE, we are there to support the industry. We are working with main contractors and subcontractors. They're really struggling to recruit, and we can assist in gaps, or we can help them have somebody on site for them. As Steve said, working on HS2, and we've got surveyors on a lot of other projects as well. Mm-hmm. And then with the training of the teams that are going out onto site so that they know what they are looking for when the contracts, because they do bite sometimes. Mm. And I think that what we do at GVE is we support the industry. It's a... Steve's got his hand up.
Steve. Yeah,
I was going to say, I think generally speaking, there's a lack of skills in the construction industry. And I just wonder whether construction is possibly unattractive at the moment in terms of the youth and the take-up. There's a lot of IT and AI and tech. Mm. It's a big party there, isn't it? Mm. But I can assure the young that it is quite exciting.
Yeah.
And there is a good career there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of work with collaboration with colleges, Mid-Kent mm-hmm. College at the moment.
Mm.
And we're looking to get into talking to other educational establishments as well. And we're taking on work experience people. So there is a career there for the young.
So is that having a drag on the industry, do you think, in terms of, you know, not being able to bring people in
the industry has always been poor. Mm. I don't think there's ever been a time when construction was the best thing to get into. For me, 40 years ago, it was something new, something exciting, and to go around the county and see all the jobs that I've worked on over the years and going into schools and talking to the children at school about what they know about construction, it's still so held back by schools. Mm. They still think that there's just the bricklayer, a carpenter, an electrician, a plumber, an architect, quantity surveyor.
Mm-hmm.
And with the work I do with Constructing Excellence, we've developed a Construction 186 where we've been, and Steve's talking there about the digital side of things. There's a digital side to construction as well. Mm. So
it's not just
much more there than you need to look into more.
Yeah, yeah. Not just about laying bricks.
No, it isn't. No.
Carrying hods of wet mortar around.
Although AI will not be able to do that anyway.
Okay. So bringing people into the workforce, kind of opening their eyes to the career opportunities within construction is obviously really, really important across the board. Sustainability, you know, building to a sort of a building homes to a net zero standard, for example, or these big commercial contracts that you've been talking about, Steve, in terms of things like HS2, very much under the sustainability spotlight in terms of materials and carbon footprint and everything else. Is that something that the industry is managing to get its head around now, or is that kind of, you know, is that happening quite slowly?
Well, we went to Thames Tideway, actually, which just got shelved for a couple of years, but we went to a lot of their recent seminars, and they are going to be the greenest infrastructure contract there has ever been. Mm. So certainly the government is driving, you know, that side of things, and certainly there's a take-up in the Tier 1, the large contractors, to do so as well. And that's filtering down through all the smaller building companies and to companies like us as well. Mm. We realise we've got a part to play to meet the sustainability targets, and we're committed to doing so. And in fact, we set up a sustainability circle at our business where we're heading up things like environment and well-being and corporate social responsibility. And, we're hoping to play our part as well.
Mm. But it's interesting, isn't it? We're already kind of talking about a skills shortage in an industry and encouraging young people to sort of come, you know, bottom up, as it were.
So one of the things that when I speak at schools and that, is about a career path. It's it's not about going in as the managing director. Very often the managing director of a construction company starts off as a trade, as a bricklayer or a carpenter. Mm. So there is a career path within construction. And I myself, for an example, you know, I started off quantity surveying. I've done project management. I've done estimating. I've done business development and marketing. And now coming back to quantity surveying. And when lockdown hit, I was doing business development. And of course, all of the events was closed down, and I just went back to the trade that I had and started quantity surveying and project managing again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an industry where there is always work for people who want to work, and people who work hard get on really well. Mm.
So do you guys have an apprenticeship program, for example? Do you bring people in at that level? And what sort of roles are you recruiting for at the moment, for example, inside your business?
It's difficult for youngsters to work in a consultancy, because we're always sending people out to projects, and those clients really want people who know what they're doing, but they've got to hit the ground running,
of course.
And but we do have graduates. We've had over the years we've had three or four graduates who've progressed, and they're now senior, you know, they're coming towards senior quantity surveyors. It's all good stuff. It's a good industry to get into. And certainly welcome any graduates who want to discuss their career path.
And I think with training, it doesn't stop, you know. I'm in my mid-50s, and my training hasn't stopped. I'm continuing.
Yeah.
Steve will tell you that he's not interested in what I knew before. It's what I'm going to find out. So
yeah.
You're my graduate for 2 years, definitely.
Well, I know you've got... you're still very much involved in the networking Kent Construction Focus Group and building Kent Connections and construction excellence as well. But I know you've got a golf day coming up next week as well, is that right?
Yeah, there is. There's a Kent Construction charity golf day in aid of Donations with a Difference, which I'm vice chair. And basically there's a 25, there's 24 teams. We've got one space for one four ball. And we're taking, if anyone wants to sponsor anything, they still can. So you can find out cheryl@dwad.org. That's cheryl@dwad.org.
Brilliant. So there's one four ball left. There is. And it's, how much is that?
It's £500.
£500 for a four ball. So if you are a construction firm out there looking to network with another 24 teams, so another 100 people.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So any subcontractors out there want to meet the main contractors, today's your day.
Fantastic. So get in touch with Cheryl on the back of that. Brilliant. Good. Guys, thank you so much for that. It's been a fascinating insight to what you guys do. Cheryl?
Can I just add about the sustainability?
Yes.
Because Mid Kent College are holding a sustainability conference on the 29th of June.
Yes, they are.
So go onto their website and find out about that as well, which I believe you're speaking at.
Specifically for construction.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Fantastic. Great. Thank you so much for the moment, guys. Do stay with us. We're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to pick up on that theme, and we're going to be talking to Nick about sustainability and everything that they do within the IT industry. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the second half of the BizConnect radio show today. We've got a studio packed full of guests. We've been talking to Steve Goodwin and Cheryl Corsbrook from GVE Commercial Solutions, very much focused in and around the construction industry in Kent. But now we're going to have a conversation with Nick Waite, our second guest from Research Development UK, based in Rochester. Nick, welcome to the show today.
Good afternoon, Martin. Thanks for having me on.
Lovely to have you with us. Nick, I'm sure we've all got at least one laptop or PC in our home or business that we use kind of day to day. But I wonder how many of us have actually thought about buying refurbished, i.e. not new, and how many of us out there actually even knew that that was something that that we could do. So just for the benefit of our listeners, just explain to us where you come into all of that, please.
Well, we're an IT remanufacturing reconditioning company. We've just gone into our 30th year of operation, I'm proud to say. We started as an IT distribution company, traditionally selling new products. And some years ago, we saw an opportunity to extend the life of IT products by refurbishing them. And we started in the first instance buying products that were refurbished by third parties that we moved on to our customers who are predominantly resellers. But over time, we identified there were so many different things, so many different processes we could put the product through to make it much more like a new, attractive product to a wider audience. My background was as an engineer many, many years ago, and it allowed me to indulge my passion of reconditioning and renewing and renovating that that makes things look like they once did before. Mm. And so We started along the route of developing the processes through different refinishing techniques that allowed us to come up with a laptop and desktop solution for customers that really does look like new, acts like new, performs like new. Mm. And we say it's like new, it's just greener.
Mm. Mm. So, I mean, thinking about my own experience of IT over the years, everything's fine, and I'm sure you'd agree, Sharon and Steve, as long as everything's working. It's when things go wrong that the colourful language, shall we say, comes out. So what sort of peace of mind, do you guys offer people that are thinking about buying renewed? As I say, the default is to always buy new, because with new you get guarantee, you know it's going to kind of work out of the box, hopefully, once it's been set up properly. What's the renewal process that you guys go through to make sure that something is as good as new, as it were, when I buy it second hand?
Well, it starts at the beginning of the process. For starters, every machine that we choose to renew comes from a manufacturer's enterprise range of products. Now, for your listeners, most IT manufacturers will manufacture what's a consumer product and an enterprise product. Consumer products, by the clue is in the name, they're designed for home users in the main. Enterprise products are manufactured to a far higher standard, built to withstand the rigors of the corporate environment, the corporate world. So they use high grade components, the chassis are much more robust, they're typically magnesium and aluminium, and the products are designed with a much longer life cycle, duty cycle than a consumer product. So we start with those.
I didn't even know that, Nick. I did not know that as a consumer I was buying a different product to an enterprise level product. I had no idea that was the case.
Well, probably a lot of people are in the same boat as you are. Mm. And of course, when you visit your local large PC or computer retailer, the products probably all on the shelf are all generally going to be consumer-led products. And so they're manufactured to a price. You know, consumers have a budget for their IT usage, which tends to be probably lower than a major corporate would do. If you take a corporate body like a major insurance company or a bank, their guys are out on the road, they're going out to customer-facing. They need a product they know they can rely on. They know they can depend on its reliability, its performance. It'll look good for longer than a consumer product. Consumer products are generally designed, this is the cynic in me, to last a certain length of time before they need to be thrown away and renewed with a new one.
It's a really good point, isn't it? Because we had that whole scandal about mobile phones, didn't we, a couple of years back. It's all gone quiet again now, but you know, there's a redundancy almost that's built into mobile phones, so that after 2 or 3 years it'll slow down, the processing speed will slow down, and you think I need to buy a new one.
They always want a new one, don't they?
Yeah.
And these 2-year contracts, you renew and you upgrade and you upgrade and you upgrade.
That's what it's all about.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So we start with an enterprise grade product, which means you start and hitting the ground running, if you like, when you choose a product to renew. We do it for the reasons I've just outlined, plus the fact these products are much more modular, so they can have parts replaced in them and upgraded to make them perform much more like a new product. And then we put them through this comprehensive number of processes, both cosmetically, every component is stress tested. We're a Microsoft authorized refurbisher, one of only five in the UK, which allows us to install a new copy of Windows 10 or 11 if people want 11. Not many people seem to yet. They then go through the cosmetic renewal, and the joy of that for our customers is that they get a product that looks like new. They feel like they're buying new. The experience of buying a renewed product is very much more similar then to that of buying a brand new product. You asked about warranty, where they go wrong. Every product that we renew goes with a minimum of a 12 months comprehensive parts and labour warranty that's upgradable to 3 years, such as our confidence in the product that we renew. So it represents a great solution for consumers and businesses alike.
And if you know, as an organization, as a business perhaps, I need something that's quite specific, you know, to my needs in terms of, you know, software that's kind of on the you know, on the disk, for example, applications that I might need that are specific to my business, is that something that you can build in as well before it's delivered to me, or will I always have to go through that process of getting my IT guys to do all of that work for me?
Generally speaking, the products that we supply come out of the box simply with the operating system. We do have the option to install Office 365 on a yearly subscription, but because there are such a wide array of apps, software packages that each business requires for its own use, we tend to provide an out-of-the-box product. I mean, if consumers are buying a product from us, we tend to steer them through a network of resellers that we have that can offer the hand-holding and the support that they need. Often people want to have files transferred. They have sensitive information, photographs, documents, etc. And sometimes they're at a loss as to how to transfer them. Everybody wants their new computer to look just like their old computer. Yeah. They don't like change. They switch it on. They want it to behave like it did before, because they get nervous when it doesn't, and they don't know whether they're pressing the wrong button. So we do a kind of one-size-fits-all that allows people to install as they wish, the same with antivirus, et cetera, et cetera.
But I know that you've been doing some work in the educational sector recently. So we're in a school today, obviously. The station is based inside the Folkestone Academy. But I know you've been doing some work with colleges in Kent to actually provide more of a sort of a 360-degree solution, if you like, with some of that in place before they actually take delivery as well.
Yes, we have. Yeah, we have. We've just entered into a relationship with a college local to us. They'd never bought renewed product before, and funnily enough, this conversation started through their sustainability officer, and more organisations, schools, major corporate bodies, lots of companies now have sustainability officers who are banging the drum for a more sustainable, greener option, particularly where IT is concerned. One of colleges generate a lot of their carbon footprint through their purchase of IT products, because they get through a lot of them. And yes, what we did, we approached this from the angle that the colleges, they have their own images that they install on machines before they go into the classroom, which is quite labour intensive for colleges' IT departments to get those products ready to rock. So we installed a server in our premises that allowed the college to come straight into the server to upload the images as they need to upgrade them. We image the machines, they go out to the college ready to be installed in the classroom, save a lot of engineering time, a lot of IT technician time, and the colleges really like the idea of being able to save that money. They get a sustainable product, they save a whole load of money, and they get a product that looks like new.
Fantastic, yeah. So it can be bespoke, you know, on that level as well.
It can indeed. And that comes right down to the actual visual look of the product as well. Because we're in control of the whole process, we're gathering a lot of momentum gathering now behind offering a product that's customised to the organisation it's going to. Yeah. For schools, they like to have things that make track and trace, security, year group usage, that kind of thing. So we're now putting laptops with schools' colours. There are certain companies, Steve and Cheryl, I don't know, some of their guys may take out laptops, and we work with a couple of other construction companies where they've now got the company's logo on the front of the laptop because it's it kind of sets a different corporate image when they're customer facing.
Yeah. And Steve, you were saying off air that GVE buy renewed IT equipment, and presumably you have an IT manager in-house that looks after all the various software and application kind of requirements that you have on the back of that as well.
Yes, we do, yeah. Anyone who knows me knows I know absolutely nothing about IT, but certainly there's a guy called James who's invaluable to us. Yeah. And yes, I understand for at least for the last 10 years we've bought renewed laptops, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, funnily enough, if I can just say, we deal with a number of construction companies as well, and construction is an interesting example where sustainability, I think Steve and Cheryl mentioned this earlier, as did you, Martin, that everyone's trying to get to carbon neutral. And the construction companies that we're working with are constantly telling us how much more it's costing them to go carbon neutral, costing more for materials, more for processes, more for monitoring, etc., etc. And the great thing about looking at renewed IT within their businesses is, A, it helps the sustainability message, and also it actually costs less than buying new. So it's a win-win, certainly for construction and also for many other industries as well.
Well, look, we'll come back to that point. We're going to take a little break for some music. Steve, I know you want to come in there as well. Do stay with us. We're going to play another song, and when we come back, we'll pick up on that whole point around sustainability on what is World Environment Day today as well. So we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today, everybody. Thank you so much for staying with us and joining us on the airwaves today. Before the break, we were talking with Nick Waite from Research Development UK all about the benefits of purchasing refurbished computer equipment for your business or organisation. And we were really talking towards the end there, Nick, around the subject of sustainability on World Environment Day, which is themed all around plastic waste this year. In terms of customers and kind of where that fits in with their sustainability strategy, for example, who are the types of businesses that you're talking to? You know, where is the kind of demand for this? We were talking off air around construction, obviously, and tier one contractors in particular. Steve, you were saying, needing to demonstrate their commitment to net zero. Is that something, Nick, that you're seeing coming down the pipe in terms of customers' motivation as well?
Most definitely, Martin, for sure. I mean, we were saying that an increasing number of organisations, particularly corporate bodies and education, now employ sustainability officers. And sustainability officers have a remit to move towards carbon neutral for their organisations. And so we find we get approached on a much more regular basis by these people from these organisations to find out what we can do to help. And when you think about the savings to be had environmentally by choosing renewed, a new laptop typically will generate something in the region of 350 kilograms of CO2. A renewed laptop and a renewed equivalent is going to be something sub 50 kilograms of CO2. So you don't have to buy many laptops before you start to make a significant saving. So yeah, we've got corporates, we've got SMEs, education, there's gathering momentum in demand for renewed products from across the board.
And Steve, you were saying that you went to a recent kind of supply chain event for a Thames project?
It's the Thames Second Crossing, yeah. I was just telling Nick off air, we were in front of many tier one and tier two contractors, and their sustainability leads were there, and I'm absolutely sure if Nick got in front of them, there would be some business to be had there.
So very, very, very hot topic. Okay, fantastic. Look, we've got a couple of minutes left. We need to bring the show to an end, unfortunately. Let's do some contact details, if we can, for each of you today. Nick, what's the best way for businesses, organisations, educational establishments, public sector, whoever it might be, to get in touch with you guys and perhaps I think, arrange a visit and come and see what you actually do, because I've seen it firsthand in terms of, you know, how you reprint computer keyboards, for example, you know, the kind of the disk drive kind of checklist that you go through and how it all actually works. So what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yes, thanks, Martin. In the first instance, people can go to the website, www.rduk.co.uk. They can contact us by email, sales@rduk.co.uk. Telephone numbers are all on the website. And yes, as you've just pointed out, we welcome visitors, and we get a lot of people these days want to come and visit the site and see what we do, see what the processes are the product goes through. And I think it always arouses a lot of interest and fascination, and does often culminate in people making a decision to move to Renewed.
Yeah, because it really is, I think, a very sort of credible alternative, definitely. Steve, how can people get in touch with GVE to find out about your, you know, your QS services, for example, all of the kind of construction services that you provide? What's the best way to get in touch?
I'll let Cheryl say the more general, but actually, if any of the listeners here just want to get in contact with me, they can contact me on sgoodwin@gvecs.co.uk, or even just give me a call on 07966 617 259. Cheryl.
Yeah, just any problem, seek help as early as possible. We're here if you've got a question, as Steve said, or pick up the phone or message me or Steve on LinkedIn if you want to as well. And also to invest in your teams with training, you know, the training of the contract, so that they know what they're doing at all stages. It gives them the tools and confidence to, you know, carry on.
And your website address?
GVECS.co.uk.
Fantastic. And there's one team up for grabs in the Kent Construction Golf Day next week at Boughton, otherwise known as The Cave now.
Yeah, that's right. Cheryl@dwad.org.
Dwad. Donations with a difference.
Donations with a difference.
Fantastic. Right. Great. Well, I think that is the end of the show today. Thank you so much for coming into the studio today, all of you. And thank you to our listeners once again for tuning in today. Hopefully there's been some insight there and some takeaway for you as well. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with another studio full of guests. So I think for now, all that remains to do is say goodbye from all of us.
Cheerio.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in. And we'll speak again soon. Thank you. Bye.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.